Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Mary Kay, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How you guys doing?
We're good.
Doing good.
We're good. Looking forward to a nice conversation about a team that we finally have some game tape to talk about.
Yeah, it was. It felt good to be back, you know, at a stadium in a locker room for the first time in years.
They let you in the locker room now. Yes. Okay, that's good news.
I mean, it had been years.
I know.
And I wondered if we actually would ever get back in a locker room after COVID and all the rules and everything. So it felt normal, you know, to be at a game and all of those kind of things.
Awfully nice. What were your impressions of game one?
Well, you know, unfortunate that the first team offense started out the way that it did. But when I look at that, I see he did not have five Pro Bowlers out there with him. There were two dropped passes by Anthony Schwartz. There were three penalties. So I don't think you can read too much into what happened out there with Deshaun Watson. I think it takes a quarterback time to get into a rhythm, and he didn't have any opportunity to do that. Three and out, two and out, penalties. It was just kind of a mess.
It did feel like there was, on one of the drops from Schwartz, I mean, it was sort of like, as a fan, watching Watson step up in the pocket when the rush came around the outside of him, took a couple steps to his right, and on the run threw an absolute dart right on the money. I know the ball was dropped, but, like, as a fan, you think to yourself, hey, that's what this is. That's why Deshaun is here, and when he gets on the field, that's what you could expect.
Yeah, absolutely. And when you watch him out here, you just see the elite physical skill set on display every single day. I mean, you're talking about amazing footwork, and I watch him every day go down to the far goalpost and work on agility and footwork after practice for the longest time. And I've never seen a quarterback work on his footwork quite like that. And it translates onto the field, I think, when you see what he just does in terms of the keepers and the rollouts and, you know, even the designed runs and things like that. So he works at every little thing.
Do you think it was fair to put him out there without all those Pro Bowlers and you know, guys offensively, the weapons, the running backs, the starters didn't play, no Amari, we know that. And I kind of expected him to go out there and, you know, look a little rusty, but, I mean, not having your weapons, that certainly was it was a big loss for him to not have those guys out there, no question.
Yeah, you know what? I agree with you 100%. If you are going to put him out there for the first time in 19 months, you need to set him up for success.
Yeah.
So give him Amari, you know, give him Nick Chubb and Kareem, and, you know, give him as many guys as he can, you know, so that he can feel comfortable and shake that rust off, because we don't know if we're going to see him again. I mean, the next time we see him play football could be a live football game with playoff implications.
Do you think we're going to get a decision this week?
I think so. I really do. I mean, that's just a guess. We're all guessing on this, but I think it's time. I don't see any reason why Peter C. Harvey can't come down with this decision sometime in the next couple of days, really.
So Friday, obviously you heard the apology from Deshaun with Aditi on the pregame show. What did you make of that?
Well, to me, that was, you know, just sort of a team-designed way for him to set the record straight on a couple of things. We saw that there was a disconnect between, you know, what the Haslam said about him being remorseful and what he hadn't said about being remorseful. I think it was time for him to actually express and say he was sorry for the first time. I think Sue L. Robinson needed to hear that. I think the investigators wanted to hear that. So, you know, I just think it was time for him to do that. The sort of defiance that we had heard before that really wasn't serving him very well. But obviously this was sort of a setup thing, and he did, you know, what he was supposed to
do.
I
mean, he talked about, like, getting counseling in the past, had been kind of defiant about some of that stuff, too. So, like, I guess maybe I'm a little cynical in the situation to think maybe the NFL said, hey, we need you to change your tune a little bit. Is that possible? Or, I mean, because I'm thinking, like Lima said this morning, I kind of agreed with him that when he heard it, he kind of thought, well, hey, maybe the league got to him and maybe there's a settlement on the way. Is that possible?
You know, I don't know if the league got to him, but I do know that he has a team around him, and it includes a PR staff that's even outside of...
It's not been good, by the way.
Yeah, but I mean, he does, like, he does have a team around him that sort of governs what he says, when he says it, and how he says it, and they work in concert with the Browns. So this isn't just, you know, Peter John Baptiste deciding, hey, let's put Deshaun out there. It goes much deeper than that.
Right.
But in terms of the counseling, too, he had told us, you know, when we asked him about this in May in OTAs, he did say then that he was seeking counseling at that point. So I thought that was a good step for him.
I guess the timing of what he said threw me off, because it came across to me like it was too late. You know, it felt to me like a remorseful, sincere apology could have done him more good before the initial ruling from Sue L. Robinson, because I don't believe that his camp holds many cards right now. I think this is far more in the NFL's hands, and that as long as Sue Robinson said Deshaun violated the personal conduct policy and should be suspended, regardless of what the suspension was, the NFL can essentially make the suspension whatever it wants because they can go through this appeal process. So him issuing that apology before the first game, like, I guess it was better that he said something before he took the field than if he didn't, but I just felt like that would have been so much more better served for him if he'd have come out and said something sooner. And on top of that, I wonder if it would have been better for him to have maybe written something in the Players' Tribune, like where he didn't just have three quick questions in an interview that lasted 2 minutes, right? I mean, I just wonder how well it was received, because I think he may have had a better outlet for that.
Well, I think if everyone could dial it all the way back to his introductory press conference, I think that's where you start to do things a little bit differently. That's where he sounded a little bit defiant, or actually, you know, a lot defiant about what had gone on. That's where he showed no regret, no remorse, admitted absolutely no wrongdoing at that time about anything, and said he wouldn't get counseling. So I think if he could do that press conference over again, that's the do-over that you would need to have. And at that point, you know, then maybe you kind of talk to the league and tell them what you're willing to do, and you know, see if you can't get something worked out ahead of time. So I understand what you're meaning, that it seemed a little bit too late, but I do think an apology needed
sure,
to happen.
It absolutely needed to happen. Yeah, no doubt about that.
So where do we go from here, Mary Kay? What's going on this week? We've got the Eagles coming to town for some joint practices later in the week. Got a game on Sunday. I know the starting reps have shifted, right, to Jacoby taking those starting reps. So I assume Deshaun is probably done maybe for the preseason. Do we think that's the case? I mean, Stefanski was on with us and said he expected him to play one game, so I kind of took that as, well, maybe this is it against Jacksonville.
Yes, I think that Deshaun is probably done for the preseason. You don't want to put him out there against Eagles backups, and I asked Kevin Stefanski about that today, and the backups will be playing for them too, and for the Browns. You're not going to put Deshaun out there with the backups and risk getting him hurt and losing him to an ACL or something like that. So I think they've seen the last of him, and for the preseason, and then for the third preseason game, I think they will you know, that's going to be kind of like a dress rehearsal game. And I do think that you'll see a fair amount of Jacoby and the starters in the third game.
What did you make of Stump Mitchell's comments today about Kareem Hunt needing to be more patient? I thought that was really interesting. You don't often hear a coach say that about a player who is as explosive as Hunt is.
Well, the thing about Stump Mitchell is that, you know, he's just very outspoken. He tells it like it is. If he wants...
We love it about him.
Yeah, and if he wants, you know, if he has, an agenda or if he wants to send a message to a player, he'll do it in those press conferences. He's really good at that. And but I think for the most part, what he was trying to do was give Kareem a vote of confidence, because he also said he can be the best in the league if he shows a little bit more of that patience. And I think for him, he was trying to give his guy a little bit of a boost, a little bit of a bump, at a time where, you know, he's kind of, you know, down on the whole situation and has asked to be traded, and, you know, it just hasn't been the best preseason, the best training camp yet for Kareem.
Well, with Jerome Ford playing as well as he did on Friday, I mean, that can't help the situation for Kareem, because, I mean, they drafted this kid. Kareem's on a one-year deal. Like, what do you – how do you analyze that dynamic now with Ford, who's had a really good camp and then balled out in the game on Friday?
You know what? I still think that Kareem Hunt is the number two back. I think he's very, very valuable. I think he should be used more in the passing game. I think he's going to be needed, especially if Deshaun Watson is out for a long, long period of time. I think you need that 1-2 punch of Nick and Kareem. And, you know, Jerome, he might be able to get his touches, but I still think there are plenty of reps to be had for Kareem in the running game and the passing game this season.
Mary Kay Cabot of Cleveland.com, our guest here on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. How about for you personally? Another training camp, this time of year is back again. What rejuvenates you about this beat and this time of year?
Well, you know, it's fun to see the fans back out here. I mean, I think that's one of the, you know, the best things is the fans. And that's also one of the more difficult things this offseason, because the fans are hurting right now. You know, it's a little bit of a downtrodden fan base, not knowing who's going to be playing quarterback. You know, so I see all these excited fans out here, and, I wish they knew that they were in for just a fantastic season.
Mary Kay, the Nick Harris injury, not good from Friday. What are you hearing there specifically, and then who's going to replace him? And we've been talking Treader, of course. I mean, he's out there. Stinks he's the NFLPA president. It feels like that's holding him back a little bit from getting a job. What do you think of that whole situation?
Well, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that Nick is out for the season. He's probably going to be undergoing that season-ending surgery at some point fairly soon. So that's really unfortunate. I wouldn't, you know, just after even talking to Joel Bitonio yesterday like we did, you know what? Who knows about J.C. Treader? You know, I kind of wrote it like, you know, Joel would welcome him back with open arms, sort of thinking that you never really know. And Ethan Posich, you know, he made no promises that he's going to be the starting center for the whole entire season. So I think it's sort of a stay tuned sort of vibe.
I would imagine that there are a lot of questions that need to get answered here, but maybe none more so than quarterback. So why don't we wrap with the conversations and rumors and thoughts around Jimmy Garoppolo. There's a lot of folks right now that feel like, hey, if Deshaun can't get on the field and it is a substantial suspension, that the Browns need to do everything possible to go after Garoppolo because they like what Garoppolo can bring better than what we have on the roster. What say you?
You know, I know a lot of fans feel that way. And yet last week I did write that, you know, that they would consider Jimmy Garoppolo in the event that Deshaun Watson is out for, you know, double-digit games. But that kind of took on a life of its own, and it took on more weight and meaning than I really did mean to give it. Jimmy Garoppolo has not been on their front burner all season long. They were not interested in him seriously as an upgrade over Baker Mayfield. And in the event that that Deshaun is out for a very lengthy period of time, I'm sure they'll have a conversation about Jimmy, but it doesn't mean they're picking up the phone and trading for him right away. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of hurdles that would have to be crossed. You know, I just don't think it's not front burner. It's something that you have a talk about.
I think it's totally fair, and certainly appreciate your perspective on that. Mm-hmm. Enjoy the rest of camp and what is leading up here to week two of the preseason with Philadelphia coming to town. I'm quite certain we'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
right,
Mary Kay.
Mary Kay Cabot.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.